now with what he has been viewing, we welcome James Croot. Good morning.
Hello, Catherine. How are you?
Good, thank you. They're just about all cinemas today, and I know that's probably been a problem the last few days, but hopefully for not too long. Pick your favourites for me and lead off.
Yes, sure. Well, I mean, there's just so many great dramas out there, and I know that some listeners may well have had a chance before last weekend to catch Supernova, which is a wonderful drama. It's quite heartbreaking, actually, though. But it brings together Colin Firth and Stanley Tucci playing a married couple. Now, I think that's kind of inspirational, really. Great casting. So these two have been together for a long time. When we first meet them, they're on a road trip around Dorset. You know, so they're having the usual squabbles, that kind of thing, when you're in close confines for a while in an RV. And then we sort of discover that Stanley Tucci's character, Tusker, is suffering from a neurological degenerative disorder and is concerned about the future. And this may well be a last tour together before he, can no longer recognise even who he is. So it's kind of, there's a wonderful, poignant kind of story. There's sort of a meditation on the nature of love and loss and quality of life and that sort of thing. But it's really a showcase for two really of the most fantastic actors of their generation in a lot of ways. These two guys are just fabulous. Originally, they were supposed to play the characters the other way around. Firth was the character who was going to be, you know, the one whose life was altering, and Tucci was the supportive partner, and they switched it around. I can't really see it the other way in a lot of ways. It's just the nature of it. If you really loved, there was a movie about a decade ago with Colin Firth called A Simple Man, which was fantastic. It's one of his best ever performances. Then I think you'll really love this. It's just one of those take a hanky with you kind of dramas that just really excels. And you know, it's a slow burner, but really once it hits, whoa, my goodness.
All right, so that's Supernova. And then two?
Blackbird, which is actually, strangely enough, because of the change in levels, has actually been pushed up a little bit outside of Auckland. So there are actually previews taking place this weekend in order to get the word out. It's actually, strangely enough, a similar sort of drama in a lot of ways. It's based on a Danish film from about 7 years ago, I think, called Silent Heart. And it's the story, Susan Sarandon, character, has gathered all her family together for one last weekend. Now she's got a disorder which means her body is slowly failing her rather than her mind, although the two things seem to be going hand in hand. And she and her husband, played brilliantly by Sam Neill, have gathered their two daughters together, played by Kate Winslet and Mia Wasikowska, as well as extended family and one of the family friends for a last celebration together. They decide they'll celebrate Christmas, even though it's nowhere near that part of the year. Sarandon wants to hand out gifts, but she also has a plan that at the end of the weekend, she's going to end her life with the help of her husband. So this is very much a take on euthanasia and what's the right thing to do. The family goes through angst and a number of trials and tribulations throughout the weekend. Long-held secrets are exposed, rumours are cast or aspersions are cast. It feels a little bit like a stage play, I have to admit, but with a cast that includes Neil, Sarandon, Winslet and Wasikowska, you know you're going to get some quality acting, and it doesn't disappoint on that. It's directed by a guy called Roger Michel, who hasn't shied away from things in the past. He's done things like The Mother. He did do Notting Hill, which I guess was a meditation on what it's like to date a superstar, a little bit more frivolous in style, perhaps. But, it's also well worth checking out.
All right, and more for us?
Now the third one today is actually a New Zealand film, which has been a long time coming. It's called Cousins, and it's based on the 1992 novel by Patricia Grace. And it's the story of three cousins and sort of their journeys in finding each other as young kids and then apart. So it's the story of Mata, who as a young child is sent away by her Pākehā dad to a home for desolate children where she's raised as May Parker and put under the care of a sort of ruthless racist guardian. I think in the 1950s that part set. And then one day, for the summer holidays, she's told that she can go off to meet her grandparents in the rural countryside. And in fact, it's her Aunt Gloria, so her late mother's sister. And that's where she learns about her real identity and meets her two cousins, Missy and Margarita. Now, the family hopes that they're able to adopt her, but of course, the way the rules were, particularly in those days, that's not possible. So she's sent back home to the guardian and sort of cut off. But meanwhile, these two other cousins are determined to sort of re-find her. They have challenges of their own. Margarita has to flee an arranged marriage, which has the idea of uniting various lands in the hope of being able to provide guardianship of it. So she flees that, heads off for an independent life in Wellington with the hope of becoming a lawyer, while her younger sister, Missy, saves the whānau of honour by stepping in and sort of taking her place. So there are lots of themes of identity and institutional racism, you know, things that are still, I guess, relevant today. And this is, I was surprised by the power of this film. It's brilliantly put together. It has a great cast. The two directors, Ainsley Gardner and Briar Gray-Smith, who is the daughter-in-law of Patricia Grace, they were two of the directors behind that fantastic sort of portmanteau movie from a few years ago, Waru. And they've done another magnificent job of sort of really creating a sense of space and place, but also drawing you into this fabulous cast of characters. And really, it's also a celebration of particularly Māori wahine and actresses. You know, there's just a fantastic ensemble of women who we've seen on screen before, but not enough of. You know, there's so many fabulous Māori actors out there who get roles occasionally in a lot of the dramas. Yeah, but I think their real strength has been on stage, and here's an opportunity to see them on the big screen, particularly with stage in such short supply at the moment. You know, if you really want to see the depth and the power of some of our actors or actresses, as we used to like to call them, then this is a marvellous celebration.
Look, it's been such a long time coming. You know, 92, I think the novel was, and there'd been plans for years. Including by the wonderful filmmaker, the late Merata Neta, who had planned to write and direct Cousins. And I think 16 years ago, wasn't it, that screenplay was shared. So a tremendous amount of anticipation around it finally coming to the screen, and very satisfying just listening to you, the result. All right, and let's leave the movies for a moment. On Netflix and hitting neon next week is New Amsterdam. You're a fan. A lot of people are a big fan of this medical drama.
It's funny, isn't it? Look, it's been out 2.5 years. I know, and speaking to Sky as well, they've been at pains to point out that it has been a reasonable success when it's been on Neon and Soho, and then it was on Prime in the last sort of 6 months. But since it's hit Netflix in the last couple of months, I think it's been at the top of the tree for the last 2 weeks. You know, it's knocked off Bridgerton and Behind Her Eyes and all those kind of other, you know, things.
Maybe it's a lockdown kind of viewing, binge viewing thing.
Right. Well, yeah, but I guess it was number one pre-lockdown in a way. But it's, I don't know, we're just hankering for a medical drama. And the thing about this, I mean, you've got The Resident and you've got Grey's Anatomy that it's up against and has been for the last 3 years. But the thing with this is it just has a little more heart to it. It has a New York sensibility. It has a more multi-ethnic cast that feels believable than some of... The Resident is very much, which is kind of the Atlanta set rival, is very much that kind of tokenism almost, and characters that are very black and white. Here, everybody's kind of more nuanced. It has Ryan Eggold, who's the lead, who plays Max, sort of the boss of the hospital. He was on the blacklist originally and always felt an underserved role. Here, he sort of has this magnificent character who's about trying to change the system, but he makes mistakes. And we see his mistakes, and we see him learn from his mistakes. And he's also battling his own problems at the same time, health-wise as well as other things. And there's just, I don't know, there's just a lot of people in the States think it's a bit hokey and a bit overly sentimental, but there's just something about a show where the central character's main ethos is, how can I help? Is just, I don't know, there's something wonderful about it. And with the third series, which amazingly Sky have suddenly jumped up by a week to throw on Neon from today, they're prepared to tackle COVID head on, whereas the Resident did a kind of one and done, and Grey's Anatomy went off in the surreal thing. This third season kind of focuses on the fallout from what's happened, particularly in New York, and sort of the toll it's had emotionally.
So right up to date it is. It sounds like you are recommended. That's great. Thanks so much, James Crute, with what he's been viewing.